Hi, it's Erin Foley, your host of Sports Without Balls. Just a heads up, fantastic listeners, that at minute 45 in this episode, the soundboard at All Things Comedy Studio, it exploded. It had a little meltdown, it began smoking, and we had to discontinue the episode. And so what I did was I recorded the last 16, 17 minutes on my iPhone with the amazing Sheila Ratner. She is my guest this week. So that is why you will hear studio audio into iPhone audio. Huge apologies, but at least we kept going and tried to right the ship. Enjoy the episode, and we'll be back in the All Things Comedy Studio next week.
It's the Final Four NCAA basketball weekend, U.S. Women's National Team back on the field weekend, and the Women's Hockey World Championship kickoff weekend. I'm so excited. This is Sports Without Balls.
Perfect score, 10.2. He had to the 2-0, now the 2-1.
Everyone, this is
Sports Without Balls. Dun, 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 dun. Hey, Sports Without Balls fans, friends, family, I am back in the booth. This is your host, Erin Foley. We are at the All Things Comedy Studio in Burbank, California. It's so good to be back. Erin in the booth.
Gold cards.
17 home runs in 3 days. The dude's on fire.
Yeah, it feels pretty good.
He's a big guy. For new listeners, that's Erin. We've been together podcasting since the 60s, and Goldschmidt went to the Cards and can't stop hitting home runs.
Yes. We're still 3-3, though.
That's okay, because the season just started, and I haven't, and my fantasy team is already terrible. Okay, great. And this is the first episode I'm not wearing my cans, my headphones. So, Erin, it's like I can hear you, but I sort of can't.
Yeah, I got to speak up in general.
I'm going to go back to the cans next weekend, but full disclosure, I'm wearing a baseball cap because I didn't shower. The woman across from me is one of my favorite humans on the planet. I haven't seen her in so long. I called her up. She's always working. I got her. She's a sports fan. She's a stand-up comic. She's a UCLA Bruin.
Yes.
Please welcome Sheila Ratner.
Thank you so much. I am Erin's coach for this weekend to make sure she gets enough nutrition and rest.
Yeah.
I'll be sleeping in a small cat bed in the corner of her bedroom, monitoring all of her television watching.
Yeah.
Before we move any further, Doctor,
yes.
I'd like to just say that several years ago, I went to Madison Square Garden for the retirement festival of Martina Navratilova, and in a flurry of decluttering after I had watched Marie Kondo for a while.
sparking joy.
I brought a gift for you that I hope will spark joy.
What?
That was given to me 25 years ago in a Chase Bank, why did I promote that bank, a box at Madison Square Garden, and I now bestow it to you.
No.
It is a commemorative Martina Navratilova retirement tennis ball.
Oh, my. You know, she's my favorite. She's my dream guest.
Well, about a month ago when I was decluttering, I was like, oh, that is being saved for the next time I do Sports Without Balls. That is a tennis ball from that night.
Oh, my God. Virginia Slam Championships, November 15th, 1994. Thank you, Sheila.
25 years ago.
You know, I collect all the stuff for my future Lady Sports Cave.
Well,
I used to say Lady Cave, and then that went terribly wrong in several conversations. So now I make sure I say my future Lady Sports
Well,
Cave.
That is...
This is a dream.
Yes.
And one day she will be on this program, and we are going to talk about that.
Yes, yes.
I always say she's my dream guest because it's threefold. The threefold being, you know, one of the greatest tennis players, obviously, of all time, right?
Yes.
But her defection story... Okay, so you get athlete, you get defecting.
Yes.
And you get gay.
And yes.
You know what I mean? So those stories?
Yes.
I mean, it would be hours. I would just be like, and then tell me end.
Yes.
She did have a little bit of a misfire about trans.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
The trans community, and I hope she walks that back at some point in time.
But
that's just a lot of, controversy and misinformation. So I'm going to give her... I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt that we all go through processes of learning and,
and
growing.
People are allowed to be human.
Yes.
And you know my favorite quote at a press conference when they said, how did you win all those championships? She said, I just played the next point.
Oh, I mean.
And that. And the 30 for 30, excuse me, it's the part wolf hat. It's so large.
You can take the hat off. I just loved it. And I wanted the Patreon fans to see that we're, I knew you'd be wearing a baseball hat. I wore my baseball hat and she's got a hat on that says part wolf. It's
wolf.
It's
and that
the
is
greatest.
True. The 30 for 30 when, when
Chrissy and Navi
played her.
Yeah.
And she had just discovered pancakes and she had moved to the United States and she said, I couldn't stop eating pancakes. And Chris Everett said, all I thought was she loses that 20 pounds. I'm in trouble. And there you go.
That was a great 30 for 30. Yeah, Navratilova lives in an undisclosed location in Florida.
Oh, really?
And I have, and well, I'll tell you now because I'm going to do a slow rollout of this this information when I gather more information. But we're switching the podcast. We're going to do a rebrand, and I'm every week I'm talking a little bit more about it. To just me with female athletes and like coaches and journalists. And it's going to start in May and I've got like five lined up and this Saturday is my first one.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't want to announce it because what if she cancels, but I am going to an undisclosed hotel location in downtown Los Angeles to interview her. And
really?
I'm so excited.
And she's legit. Like, should we put a tracker on you in case this is some kind of catfish incident?
No, okay. she's fantastic. I just happen to randomly know her. But
Aaron, that is
so
really
what I'm telling you. So this is what
I'm really excited
for
you.
I know my whole plan is, you know, bank like 8-10 women, right? And then go out to Navi. I call her my sweet Navi.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I've had this person on, this person on, this person on. So, I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. I never thought, you know, it's a woman thing too about like having confidence, right? Which I'm trying to, because I thought, well, I have 240 podcasts. Like there's nothing more I want to do in my life than do, you know, talk about sports. But I keep just always now gravitating, except for baseball, Aaron. I keep now gravitating I just watch women's sports. Like whatever is like that to me excites me the most. And telling female athletes stories and journalists and coaches stories excites me the most. So I have two producers now. These guys are helping me out and encouraging me. So I just been starting to like go out to female athletes.
Wow.
Have an email template. And it's just like me being, here's the template. We want to tell your story. But then a couple sentences of how much I love this person. Because of course I've been obsessed with all these women for
long. Yes, yes.
And they're emailing me back.
They should be emailing you back.
Sheila, I should have done this years ago, but I just thought, oh.
It's all right. Now you have the 240 episodes for them to see you legit.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I don't want to say dovetailing with the Me Too movement, but I do feel like in this country
time.
And in this world right now, it's time for everybody to stop, you know, having less, you know, less value to women's sports and men's sports. I mean, right now the only one really is tennis in terms of that has the same amount of money paid, you know, same purse amount and stuff. I think the timing is perfect. You're doing it exactly when you should be doing it. And I'm lucky I'm getting in under the wire before you need somebody fit as a fiddle who is actually an athlete here.
No, what I'm going to do also, and I'll do it. This is going to be a work in progress, but, you know, every week I'll have an athlete or journalist on, but for bonus episodes, like you and I will sit down and we'll just cover whatever we want to cover and I'll put it up on Patreon for bonus episodes. So it'll be super fun.
Yeah. I'd also like to say that we live in a world where everybody is a lot more connected than we realize, because even though Instagram and things like that make it feel like, oh, I know this person, you know, it feels false. A couple of months ago, I posted something and Perry Gilpin liked it. And I'm a huge Frasier fan. She played Roz.
Oh, my God.
And then Perry Gilpin started following me. Obviously, it took me days to make another post because the pressure was so great that Roz Doyle was following me. I guess the crux of the biscuit is...
Yeah.
You know, whether she'd answer or not, I can now direct message Perry Gill. We are a lot, so it is not.
I'm just writing down crux of the biscuit. I'm sorry, because I've never heard that before, and we might call this episode the crux
of the biscuit.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is Everybody's a lot, you know, closer. I have yet to meet Doug the Pug, but Liz Stewart just met him and mentioned my name to him at the Kids' Choice Awards. So I feel like that's one degree away.
I don't know. I don't know who Doug the Pug is. Aaron, do you know who Doug the Pug is?
It's like a YouTube thing.
He has thousands of followers.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
And as you know, we'll get to what I attended recently. But yes.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's true. But, you know, what's so exciting as, you know, my entire life I've been, you know, watching women's sports, playing sports, being such a champion of women in sports.
Yes.
Right? And complaining every chance I get, people in parties, blood coming out of their ears, looking for me to help to get out of a conversation, being like, exposure, exposure, exposure. You cannot be a fan of something you can't see.
Yes.
Right? So, and I've seen it just now, just doing this podcast for 4 years, it's getting better and better and better, you know? Setback, small steps, you know what I mean? We're doing it with the women's hockey, and we'll get to that. Canadian Women's Hockey League folded. I was devastated, but now the National Hockey League is giving more money to our Women's Hockey League, and now they're going to try to get teams in Toronto and Montreal.
Wow.
And so it's, you know what I mean? It feels like, okay, steps back, steps forward. But with these athletes, I just never thought, like, I was like, oh, well, I'm a comic. Like, I'm not a professional, whatever. But I think they're looking for more, you know, outlets.
And
people want, like, Julie Foudy, who I absolutely love, has a new podcast on ESPNW. I want to tell everybody to go listen to that one. You know, she's interviewing female athletes. I don't know if she's going to just do female athletes or whatever. But, you know, it was fun to listen to. I listened to her Jessica Mendoza and Simone Biles. And, you know, it's just fun, you know what I mean, to get more content out there. So I just can't believe they're like emailing me back. It's like a dream.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, I can Skype in. I'm like, what? Huh? Like, it's so exciting. So now I'm like, oh my God, what do I,
right.
What do I, a- now I have
it's
to go.
It's the Perry Gilpin pressure.
What do I ask them?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
I mean, I could ask them one question, we could talk for 4 hours, but
I just want
to make sure it's like empowering. And if, like, you know, my goal is like all, like a whole bunch of like generations of younger girls, like, listen, and they get to know Martina Navratilova. They get to know like retired players who have like paved the way. Oh, this is the whole point, UCLA. And then we're going to jump right into the NCAA tournament because I watched literally every game like an insane person.
That I believe.
I fell in love with the UCLA women's basketball coach. Mm-hmm. And this is when you're talking about, you know, connecting and Instagram and all this stuff. Corey Close, that's her name. And if you watch the tournament, I correctly predicted that UCLA would beat Maryland. You're welcome. Then they fell to UConn. I pick UConn.
Oh.
But Close on the sidelines was so infectious and so excited. They beat Maryland. She was like dancing in the locker room. I loved her intensity. She quotes your guy Wooden all the time.
Oh, yeah. The pyramid of success.
She met him. I have to do a deeper dive, and I will. But anyway, this is the whole point. I'm sorry, I just get excited about these topics, but you go on the UCLA, I was just trying to double check that I got her name right. Well, I have her, you know, she has her information online, like a UCLA, like an account.
She's reachable.
And I'm like, well, I'm going to give her this weekend because it's the tournament still, and go, hey, come on the show. This is something I wouldn't even thought, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You always think, how am I? Yeah, I do stand-up comedy. How am I going to reach these people? Well, there's so much information online. It's like, why not try? If you hear back from me, hear back from if not.
Yeah, but you have a lot of good karma too.
Yeah.
And you are reachable and you are accessible and you are as inspiring on stage as these athletes are where they do it. It's about connecting positivity with people. It's not that different. I know that it takes it's a whole different physical thing to be an athlete, but at the same time,
I stretched for this podcast. I did 15 cat camels. I stretch my glutes. I'm not fucking around.
No, I know. I biked here from Santa Monica. I left last night at 8. Just a small tricycle with a little
weed clown
bumper
horse
sticker on the back. Yeah. It's all connected.
Yeah.
People, coaches, you know, coaches are, it's all connected and it's about inspiring people. And I think it's great you're connecting with these people. And they need more exposure. People should be as inspired by women athletes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was watching one of the games at the Staples Center one night and listening to it, the announcer said, you know, she's back from having a baby, as if, you know, once she had a baby, she would be in the cave for several years while some of the other women went out and hunted animals. I was like, yes, she had a baby, and now she's back on the court.
Yeah.
They rarely say Scottie Pippen had a baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, or, it's you know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what his baby situation is like.
I don't know either. I don't even know if he still plays. That was just the first name that came to mind. Because
I'm
out of the loop.
He just retired.
Oh, he did.
Yeah,
oh, Scottie
Pippen just retired about 20 years ago. But you know, you never know.
Yeah, well, so he had all those children. He probably needed to stay home.
He's exhausted. there was no episode last week because I was in the great state of Florida with Mary and Dick Foley. Mm. Now Sheila is not only a friend, she's a family friend.
Mm.
We spent many a holiday together.
Yes.
And my parents love Sheila Ratner.
Mm, well, it goes right back at them.
And so anyway, they said to say hi. And so I had you on the brain and I was like, oh, maybe I can just randomly get you for this program. Because I was texting you last week when UCLA was playing. And, you know, the women's basketball team, it was probably one of the hottest teams coming into the tournament. They had like a fury. That's not the word. Flurry? Flurry. Mm-hmm. That's the word. At the end of the season, they were ranked in the top 20, if like 19 or 20, which is so exciting because I always say USC always gets all the press for like sports, but UCLA, phenomenal sports. I mean, their softball team, you have to come with me.
Yeah.
I'm finally back in town, and they're the last weekend in April, and I think I'm just going to see like all five games and just like sleep at the stadium. but their sports programs have always been top notch.
But and the athletes are the real athletes at USC. They're often the children of television stars who are sitting on a rowboat. Anyway,
I can't even. That's why it makes me like public schools even more. I mean UCLA. Yeah. I'm a huge UCLA fan, and USC. I'm like, it means nothing to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, the last week I watched. So Mary and Dick watched Baylor women with me because Tara's at Baylor, and Baylor's always like a really hard one for me because I love the players, but the coach is like a raging homophobe. Phenomenal coach, by the way, but just ugh.
Yeah.
So it's always hard for me to get my head around Baylor, but this team. Yeah. What I'm telling you. So I watched. I had some dream matchups 2 weeks ago when I recorded the program. I did brackets. I had some dream matchups, and most of the dream matchups came true in the final, in the eight, in the round of six Sweet 16. I really wanted to see like NC State, Iowa. I got that matchup. There were some upsets, not a lot, but enough. Like I got my Louisville Oregon State matchup. I got my UCLA UConn. These are all Sweet 16 matchups. Great games, great shooting, but they're again, in the final four right now, even in the final eight, we had ones and twos, which was, I know it's kind of like, maybe people would say it's like a little bit boring. There's no like huge upsets, but for me, I wanted these matchups because they were truly to get through the whole season and then see the best of the best play in that final eight.
You want to see that.
I just wanted to see it.
Yeah.
You know, on the men's side, and then I watched a lot of men's, and I hadn't watched a lot of men's basketball all year, but Mary and Dick, they literally watch every men's game.
Yeah.
So I got to see a lot of these teams. The thing about it is, like Auburn was 5, Texas Tech is 4 or something like that. But there were some 12s. There was a lot. There's always a lot more upsets in the men's games. But like in Auburn being 5 and being in the Final Four, I mean, honest to God, they look like the best team like the entire tournament. And then their star player went down. ACL injury, senior. I was crying like I was a lifelong Auburn fan just because they beat North Carolina. Sorry, Casey Connolly. But
this is your commitment to sports. That's why you were crying.
Yeah, it was just so. I felt my heart broke for this kid because Auburn was on fire. Like they wound up beating Kentucky without. I know I'm jumping through both.
Now, and I know Kentucky's a good team.
Kentucky's a really good team.
Yes.
But, you know, you just want new teams winning.
Yeah.
But the whole point of this is Auburn's a five, but I swear to God, they could have been a four, they could have been a two. Like,
yeah.
The games are super exciting. But on the women's side, it really truly felt like these ones and twos should be there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It felt like, I guess what I'm trying to say on the men's side, it didn't feel like there was much difference between Kentucky and Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
A two and a five, it really felt like, you know, Gonzaga was one. They got beat by Texas Tech. I'm not a Texas Tech fan. I'm a huge Gonzaga fan. That was heartbreaking, but I was like, Gonzaga didn't really play that well. And Texas Tech, I was like, all right. You know what I mean? But I would have been devastated if Baylor didn't play Iowa in the Final Eight, because that was a matchup. The matchups I wanted was Baylor, Iowa, Mississippi State, Oregon, Notre Dame, Stanford, Louisville, UConn. And I literally got every single matchup.
Now,
and my head was falling off.
Do you like a good matchup because they have two different styles of play, and so you see how they defeat each other and how they can figure out each other's weak spots? Or do you love a matchup that has two very similar styles of play and it's down to the last possession and you're like, God, this could go down to the last point?
I can't think of a better question. And that's why you're here in the booth, Sheila.
No, I just want to know what a good matchup for you is.
Well, let's get real nerdy. Because this is all I want to do.
Please, I've already learned so much. And I'm up for a trivia game show. And everything you were saying to me is helping.
By the way, really quick, and we're going right back into it.
Yeah.
I'm in Texas 2 weeks ago doing shows, then went to see Tara at Baylor, right?
Yeah.
But she was home for a couple days. I was with my girlfriend, Sarah, who you still have to meet.
Oh.
And so we were like, oh, Tara had like an old school Trivia Pursuit game. She's a professor. And it gave me like flashbacks of Foley Family Trivia Pursuit games, where I'd always ask for sports. I'd always try to get the orange slice of the pie, and I would get the question. I would get, what is in a Tom Collins? Now, that has been a Foley Family joke forever.
In the sports thing?
Because it's sports and leisure. And I'd get the goddamn leisure questions, and then everyone else in the family would get like Newt Rockne questions. Anyway. So we go and we play, and then I got two cocktail questions.
No.
Again, I got two leisure questions
like
in a row.
What's in a pink squirrel?
I mean, it was ridiculous. I was like, this game is rigged. But anyway.
And I went to bartending school when I got to New York. I stopped telling people after two interviews where people laughed in my face.
Why?
Yeah. Well, because the first drink I learned was a grasshopper. It was
no one orders it.
Yeah, yeah. That just seems unfair.
Yeah,
and
no,
may I say,
it happened again. Literally, I think on the Kelsey Cook, by the way, everybody loved that episode. Do you know Kelsey Cook? She's a stand-up comic. She's wonderful.
No, sounds
she's,
like I should
she's
know
like
her.
A semi-pro foosball player.
Oh.
Yeah, and we did an entire episode on foosball.
Oh.
And everyone loved the episode. So thank you for that feedback. I've gotten such good feedback on that because it was so interesting.
Oh, well, I'm not at her level, but boy, do I love it. I mean, I will stop. If there's a foosball thing, that's
it. There's a foosball table right outside. Yeah, she does, you should watch, and she does, foosball?
It's called Wrists of Fury.
Wrists of Fury. So everybody, there's a big plug for Kelsey Cook. Wrists of Fury. She does it's like a web series, right, Aaron?
Yeah, it's on our YouTube.
It's on the ATC YouTube page.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm
Wrists
going
of Fury.
To that.
So everybody watch that.
And may I say that there's an annual Rummy Cube contest in Germany that I am saving my pennies to go to. Because
you introduced me to the game
I play weekly with Beth Sherman and her wife she has time.
Can I be invited?
You can be invited.
I played it twice with you, and I love it, and I haven't played since.
Oh, it is. They put out a panoply of cheeses from all different countries, and then we open a bottle of wine.
Nice.
And then the games begin.
I know this is really tangential, but I thought we were all doing really well on the Rummy Cube game that I hosted a couple years ago.
Yes.
And then someone took out a little bit of weed, and boy, did that game go south so quickly. You need so much concentration for Rummy Cube.
Yep.
And I love it because there's so much math involved.
Yes.
And I'm not good with weed. I got a little high.
Right.
I couldn't tell what if I was in my own apartment.
Yeah.
I just was like, I can't. Weed and Rummy Cube for me
is not a good pairing.
Not a good pairing.
Well, I mean, you might need a keeper.
Wine, okay.
You might need a weed keeper. I mean, last night I ate...
What's a weed keeper?
You know, somebody to shepherd you through the experience.
Okay,
namely
all right.
me.
Yeah.
For instance, last night I ate an edible and went to see Top Gun on the rooftop of a hotel with Kelly McGillis. I don't want to segue into women's hoops from Kelly McGillis, but it seems like a pretty natural segue. And... given the edible, I almost thought there was sexual tension between Kelly and Tom. That's how good the edible was.
Yes.
Because there was none.
There was, I have to say, I felt like there was some heat between Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis.
There was a scene or two on the motorcycle, I think, where there wasn't any threat that anything was going to really happen.
Yeah.
She just had her hands around him.
Yeah.
But yes, I didn't mean to go on
that
a tangent.
That movie holds up.
It really does hold up.
Okay, your question. Thank you for asking me that question. Okay, so let's break this down. And Baylor played Iowa, and the reason why I wanted that matchup was because Megan Gustafson is the player of the year for Iowa, right? Fell in love with Iowa this year. Okay. Also, just forefront of gay rights. It's a great state. It's underrated.
Is it?
It really is.
Wow.
Honest to God, I have wonderful shows in Iowa. I haven't been back in years. I got to book more. I've done shows in Dubuque.
Wow.
Adorable city. Des Moines. I mean, you can't go there in the winter because it's too cold. Mm-hmm. Amazing people.
Wow.
Iowans are really progressive in a way where they value independent rights over government rights.
Gosh,
it's only because I was at a bar or some small theater in Des Moines a couple years ago when Iowa passed gay marriage. And I said on stage, if someone could meet me after this show and explain to me why, because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And a LGBT lawyer, of course, lesbo, was in the show. We sat down. An hour conversation.
Wow.
And he broke down how Iowans they value individual rights over like this conforming, like big government. It was fascinating.
That I did not know.
Yes.
I mean, that's
Cedar Rapids. I'm going to take a pass on that one.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
No worries. There's always pockets.
Yes.
Of,
there's always pockets.
Cedar. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so a big Iowa fan just based on stand up. Anyway, Megan Gustafson, Kalani Brown and Lauren Cox are the big wigs at Baylor.
Okay.
And they're centers. But Lauren Cox also plays like power forward. She could drop back and nail a three. She's on fire.
Okay.
And I wanted to see how Baylor was going to defend Gustafson.
Right.
They did a really good job. She played fairly well. I mean, she has like a good team around her, but she needs a great team around her.
Mm-hmm.
So she reminds me of like an Elena Deladon, where she was at Delaware and sort of basically was passing to herself. No disrespect to the rest of the Delaware team. We're talking about one of the greatest players of all time.
Right.
And they made it, maybe Delaware made it to 32 or Sweet 16, but she needed people around her.
Yeah,
even... you've seen that in so many sports you watch.
Seinfeld is a good comic, but he surrounded himself with really good actors to make that sitcom because he wasn't a good actor.
Yeah.
Same with Ellen. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so it's sort of like that makeup. So,
right.
So Gustafson, I can't wait to watch her in the WNBA because she will be now surrounded by,
like-minded people at her level.
Yeah, and listen, this is no disrespect to the Iowa team. They were a really good team, but when you're playing Baylor, now Baylor looks like, they're making teams look like chump change. It's really, that's why I'm like, I don't know who's going to stop them.
Right.
And it was I predicted Notre Dame-Baylor in the final, which I think we will get, but I also chose Notre Dame, and then after watching Baylor these last couple weeks, I'm like,
Notre Dame to take the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. But then after watching maybe Baylor's last four games, where they're making other teams look like JV squads, I kid you not, that I think if I'm now picking, I'm like, I still want the Baylor Notre Dame matchup, but I mean, if I had money to bet, I would go with Baylor, but
right.
I'm still sticking by Notre Dame. Hi, Brenton.
So when the coach calls them in, we're like, how are we going to stop Gustafson?
Yeah.
That's the kind of, that would be like their first bullet
point.
Yeah,
so that was the matchup I wanted.
Right.
You know what I mean? And to see how they were going to defend, were they going to like try to shut down some of their shooting guards and let her go? Like, I just wanted to know, to see that matchup. The Mississippi State-Oregon, to me, was really... exciting because Oregon is not that big. They just have this woman, Sabrina Ionescu. Mm-hmm. She's a twin. She's a twin brother. You know how I get so excited about twin stories.
Of course. And you limit people to only three questions when they find out you're a
three
twin.
Questions.
I know that.
Mm-hmm. So Oregon's got these amazing, also they have a player named Aaron Boley, and I just think, oh, Aaron Foley, and I get really excited.
Oh, yes, Aaron Boley.
Like, imagine if I was like a college player for Oregon. Anyway, So Mississippi State has Tierin McGowan, who probably will go number one in WNBA draft, maybe number one or two. She's like 6'8". She's amazing. She is so much taller than everyone else. She's
right.
Super athletic. And I was like, who's going to stop her? Also, does Mississippi State have enough players around her to make a run?
Right.
I picked Mississippi State, but Oregon wound up beating. I was diehard cheering for Oregon. But what I'm telling you, you got to watch this Oregon team. They're getting late in the game. It was a phenomenal game. It was like point here, point there. I don't know. I forget the Oregon State. The center just started, I don't know, defending her so well. She started scoring. Everyone, it was such a great matchup.
Yeah.
And Ionescu, she does a step back 3-point shot with like 30 seconds left.
Wow.
They were up by like 3 or 4. It was like, oh God, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And she literally does the Harden step in, step back, drains it.
Is that the nail in the coffin?
Nail in the coffin. Mm-hmm. And the place went crazy.
Yeah.
And she had a quote. I'll find the quote, but it was basically like, and it wasn't cocky. It was just like that amazing shooter confidence. She goes, honestly, I just was like, I'm going to shoot it. It's going to go in. Let's just get to the Final Four.
Oh, yes.
I kid you not. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. That isn't cocky. That is.
Yeah. She was like, no, I knew it was going to go in.
Just being in the flow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When some athletes say everything slows down.
Yeah.
When they hit that last, you know, tennis shot where they win the thing. It's like, it's like you're not.
Yeah.
Well, you know it from being on stage. When you're on stage and just things are, it almost sounds like a laugh track when people, you're like, they're just laughing at everything I'm saying. It's like, you're not, there isn't any editing. It's so incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
That
so
is
she
great.
She was in the stand-up comedy zone.
Right.
But I mean that, it was, she was like, I just was like, just drain this three and then just, let's just get to the Final Four. I was
right.
And Mississippi State, they were probably, honestly, the hottest. UCLA was hot, but Mississippi State was probably the hottest team going in the tournament.
Yeah.
They jumped from a 2 to a 1 seed and Oregon's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Oregon now plays Baylor and my head's going to fall off.
Oh my God.
Now Baylor has not, I don't think has really been challenged.
Mm-hmm.
Now Baylor is better than Oregon. However, let's say Baylor has an off night, this is what's so great. We've seen this men's and women's March Madness. What makes March Madness so great.
Mm-hmm.
You get a couple people that are not having the greatest night.
Yeah.
Or Oregon has to play, like, I was on this podcast right before the Super Bowl, and I tried to encourage the linemen of the LA Rams just to do a bump of coke right before they went out. just a bump. We called the episode Just a Bump. I didn't want them hooked on drugs. I just needed them just to do a quick line of Lawrence Taylor cocaine. And when they got on the field, they would be able to stop the Patriots.
Yes, yes.
I'm not encouraging these women to, but
of course you aren't.
If they just had a little bump, and they just
that would be okay.
Chugged 7 Red Bull. Oregon needs to play the greatest game they've ever played. Right?
Yes.
It's possible if they start draining threes, the defense gets pulled out. You know, anything could happen. Anything could happen.
Yeah.
And Baylor has to have an off game. And
right.
But I do believe Baylor will win. I think
they're just sort of unstoppable at this point.
Sheila, they just, you know, you've seen it before. You see a team where you go, oh, well, I don't know how this isn't their year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know. You know, as you know, I work as a stand-in on Dancing with the Stars, and I was able to talk to Derek Fisher one day. And I asked him how it felt to sink a game-winning buzzer beater point.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't even think I was going. I played basketball in high school. I didn't even think I was going to play basketball in college. Like, everything just kept falling into place for me to keep playing basketball. And he said, for me to play on the Lakers was like a dream. And he said, and everything that I had ever worked for all culminated.
Yeah.
In that moment. And he said, but you don't do it for you. You do it for the team, which of course made me like,
oh my God, I'm getting chills.
Yeah. It just made me tear up when he said it. And I have to say, that is, you know, as you should know, Rashad Jennings was on the show too. And I said, let me talk to you about playing for the Raiders. And he sat down and said, what do you got? You know, and I was like, I had no papers ready. I had no drafting. I just said, I wasn't ready, you know, but the thing, I guess what I'm saying is that moment you've talked about what it feels like. I remember you said you once had a commercial audition and they said, they wanted you to describe something like the highlight of your life. And I think you said it would be being in the end zone and catching the game winning pass for the Giants.
Oh, my dream sequence.
It was like it was something where you had told me that was your answer. I can't remember all the details, but that was your dream sequence.
Yeah,
you know?
And then Heidi Klum or Padma comes out of the end of the end zone with a bottle of champagne after I've caught and won the game winning.
Yes, well, I've imagined dipping Whitney Carson a couple of times on Dancing with the Stars. Unfortunately, I had to sign a behavior contract, a BBC Worldwide Rules of Conduct I have to sign every beginning of every season. That's why I haven't made out with Sharna Burgess against her will yet. However, I have melted
on that set.
In her... Well, I did make a joke one day, and Sharna Burgess sort of stroked my cheek and said, you're funny. And I was like, my life is over now. I am going to just sleep forever in some sort of the corner of the CBS studios right now, just dreaming of Sharna.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Sharna.
Okay.
Yeah, so these matchups, but you're pretty convinced Baylor's going to do it.
Well, yeah, and then on the other side, I watched
focus.
Louisville UConn, and I had Louisville winning because Connecticut, honestly, sometimes they look good, sometimes they didn't, and they went from a number one to a number two, and I thought, you know what, Louisville's going to do it this year. They are going to do it this year, and this is a good time to bring in how much I love the coach of Louisville. Because he tweeted out, all right, this goes into my back on the bus segment. Okay, so the day of the game, UConn's playing Louisville. That day, Kentucky men's basketball is playing, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Kentucky's obviously always good.
Yes.
You know, they haven't won in a while. But Louisville women's basketball has been Final Four last year. Like, they've been so good now for the last couple of years. And the program, Jeff Waltz is the coach of Louisville, and he's just fantastic. He had a moment last year and where Louisville, their main competition is Notre Dame. They're conference rivals. And Muffet McGraw, the coach of Notre Dame, is like one of my heroes.
Boy, I like that name.
She's so great. And Patreon fans, I just posted a fantastic article about Muffet McGraw. And we'll get to Muffet in a second. Mm-hmm. She doesn't hire men. She's like such a fierce, like,
she's
woman's
just sitting
empowerment.
On her Tuffet.
She's just
and counting her wins. She is just sitting on her Tuffet.
She's
and
so great.
Her
she's like battled Gino Auriemma of UConn, just verbally battled. Like, just.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is the reason why I also love.
Oh,
Jeff
so it
Waltz.
Is Gino. He's still the same UConn coach.
Yeah,
I was going to ask if he's still. Yeah,
yeah. And
didn't Rebecca Lobo come out of there?
Oh, everyone awesome came out of there.
Yeah,
I love Gino. He's so good for women's basketball, but people hate him.
Oh, really?
Well, he's just outspoken, and you know what I mean? But I'm a huge Gino fan.
Right.
What he's done for women's basketball has been absolutely tremendous.
Yeah,
and,
you
know, I was born and raised a UConn fan.
Yeah.
But now I'm just so excited about all these other teams. You know what I mean? Like, UConn just dominated for so long, you're like, oh, come on. You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, Jeff Waltz, last year, Notre Dame's playing UConn, Notre Dame's playing Louisville. You'll love this. And Muffet McGraw, I think, before the matchup, said something like, oh yeah, they have a bunch of, good shooters on their team. I can't exactly remember what she quoted, right? She's like, oh, and they have that one good shooter. Like she didn't name Louisville's best player. And Louisville's best player is Asia Durr. Mm-hmm. And fingers crossed in the WNBA draft, Asia Durr will go to the New York Liberty.
Uh-huh.
That's my dream. So
Asia Durr.
She's so good. Mm-hmm. Lefty, sharpshooter.
Oh.
So Louisville beats Notre Dame.
Right.
Right? The coaches are about to shake. Muffin McGraw has no idea what's coming. And Jeff Waltz shakes her hand and goes, Asia Durr, that's her name.
Oh.
And at first I was like, you just see Muffin McGraw like not expecting. She was like, what? Whatever.
Yeah, because she wasn't saying it in a hostile way. She was just saying, no, they've got that great shooter. Like, respectfully.
Respectfully, but also not giving Asia Durr her due.
Okay, so
yeah.
It
wasn't a slam or anything. It was just she knows who Asia Durr is.
I see.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, I get it, yeah.
So at first I was like, I'm always so pro, like, female coaches. So I was like, what did that guy say to her, right?
Yeah.
And then in the post-game conference, he's like, no, I just wanted to remind her that it's Asia Durr. She's a phenomenal basketball player, and that's her name. And I was like, I love him. I love him.
Yeah, yes.
Because he had her back.
Right,
and
right.
And Muffin McGraw's a dream sequence. It just made me love him.
Yeah.
And he's got like a little bit of a stutter and he's so protective of his players.
Right, right.
And so now I'm like, oh my God, I love Louisville basketball because of him. But anyway, here's
the whole
thing.
He's giving Durr her due.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
So back on the bus this week is the governor of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I sent you this.
Yes.
The governor of Kentucky that morning, so this was probably last Thursday or Friday, sent out Elite Eight, congratulations to the Kentucky men's basketball team. Elite Eight, congratulations to the Kentucky men's basketball team. Now, Louisville women are in the Elite Eight.
Right.
And Jeff Waltz tweets out to the governor, thought you might want to know that you have a good group of young women in University of, Louisville women's basketball team.
Yes.
That will also be playing the Elite Eight on Sunday. I'll make sure to let my players know you said congrats.
Good for him.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck?
Why do we, exactly. What is that? It's just, it needs to change and it's going to change with stuff like that.
Yeah. So ESPNW retweeted it and said, friendly reminder from Jeff Waltz, stop forgetting about women's sports.
Mm-hmm. With a lot of hand clapping. A
lot of hand clapping.
Yep.
So
they went
I was
a little nuts with the emojis. That's good. Because some millennials really pay more attention. They now know that's something good because they're looking at that tiny picture. It's how we're back to the caves. They're just communicating this way now. Exactly.
Yeah, but isn't
good
that awesome?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just support.
I know.
It's like you're the governor of Kentucky.
Yeah.
For God's sakes, I know Kentucky men's basketball is good. They're always fun to watch.
Yes.
They're always supported. They're supported by everybody.
Yes. There's even a shot or two of Ashley Judd in the audience,
always.
Which never bothers me.
No. But Louisville, I mean, he basically like brought that whole team, like brought that program to life. And doesn't he, like, you know what I mean? It's like, just so I was like back on the bus, Kentucky governor. I don't even know his name. And good for Jeff Waltz.
There's like a reverence for men and then the sort of expectation with women. Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. You can do that. But that's not what you're going to be doing forever. Whereas with men, it's like, where are they going after this? The NBA, what I mean? It's sort of like they're going to go on and do something important. And with women, it's sort of like, all right, you're having your fun, but don't forget to finish baking those brownies for after the game. Get your eyebrows tweezed. Miss a practice or two.
Careful.
Make sure you. Oh yeah.
Legs, sorry.
I was getting excited. So my feet were moving.
No, it's so true. It was so. I just was like, oh God, come on, step up your game, Governor.
Yeah, wake up. It's 2019. For God's sake.
For God's sake. So UConn winds up beating Louisville, and let me tell you this: I was cheering for Louisville, but UConn deserved to win that game. UConn lost to Louisville in the season, and UConn is now peaking, and I am worried about. Oh, what was that? Jesus, that scared the crap. Aaron, did you hear that?
Sports Without Balls fans, friends, family. Sorry about that. We have an audio blow up. Poor Aaron in the booth. The thing just fried. So now I've got my cell phone on. We're still in the studio with the wonderful Sheila Ratner. I'm going to try to marry these audios, as someone would say if they know technical terms. I do not. So what we're going to do is just do kind of just a little bit of a roundup, and we'll leave with the feel good moment of the week. We'll just do a little bit of a shorter pod this week because unfortunately the entire audio board of the studio just blew up. So huge apologies, but sometimes these things happen. So we're going to finish out the women's championship. We've got Stanford Notre Dame, that happened on Monday night. I actually was in New York and went to bed at halftime, and Notre Dame was losing because I could not keep my eyes open. Uh-huh. And feared that my sweet Notre Dame team would lose, and they came back and scored something like 60. They had like 28 points in the first half, and the final score was 80 something.
Wow.
So I have it recorded. I'm going to watch it this weekend. But whatever Muffet McGraw said to them at halftime, it must have been an epic. If I could get, I would be more interested not even to see what she said to these players at the halftime of that game than the actual playing.
Well, as you know, I have that 2-CD set of Vince Lombardi's halftime speeches.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that. That's awesome.
Packers, yes, and occasionally listen to those when I need to get back on the field, so to speak. I don't know why I'm looking at the microphone.
Yeah, sorry. We're going to try to probably just use our loudest voices right now.
Yes, outside voices.
Yes. Another thing that we'll probably have to put a pin in, but I will put it on, I already put on the Patreon page, is a really great, there's two really great articles, but the one I absolutely loved was a real in-depth article on Muffet McGraw and how she came to be such a phenomenal coach, and how it's all about women having confidence, and she's always, you know, starting out. She didn't, her husband encouraged her to even apply for the Notre Dame job. And it also gives this really great nerdy breakdown. And of course, we have no audio. We're doing this now huddled around our cell phones.
Yes.
So I'll do more of this on Monday. But the breakdown of women coaching in the NCAA for women's basketball, and how there's only maybe 40% women, female coaches, only 10-11% women of color. And on the men's side, it's 100% men. There is not one woman coaching in NCAA men's basketball, which I honestly was like, I should have been shocked, but I was shocked.
Wow. And isn't Becky Hammon coaching in the NBA?
Yeah.
I mean, there are female coaches
there's a
in
couple,
the NBA,
there's
right?
a couple female.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's more and more like Sue Bird's in the Denver Nuggets front office.
I like Sue
Lindsay
Bird.
Harding's in the 76ers front office. So, I mean, you know, NBA feels like, oh, my God, there's so much, you know, more. But there's none in
100%.
I just don't. Wow. I just always just feel like, and I'm going to be talking about, you know, this to more of the female athletes that come on the show. You know, nothing's good when it's, you know, one of everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the fact that even a woman could be in this, like, male workplace is a good thing.
Yes.
It's just a good thing.
Yes.
Anyway, I'll do a deeper dive on the how that breaks down on Monday. But it's really just a fantastic article written by, and I just followed her on Twitter. That article was written by a really great journalist named Lindsay Gibbs. Mm-hmm. Lindsay Gibbs, and she's got a great Twitter account, so shout out to Lindsay Gibbs. I did want to say real quick that Tara Vandermeer, one of my favorite coaches, you know, Hall of Fame coach for the Stanford Cardinal, was playing the round before, you'll love this quote, Sheila, against Missouri State. So that was an upset, right? So Missouri State was ranked 11. They beat DePaul. Then they beat Iowa State. So they were like the Cinderella team of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're a crazy women's basketball fan, the assistant coach on Missouri State is Jackie Stiles. I literally heard that in the other room. I was like, Jackie Stiles? Jackie Stiles is one of the best collegiate women's basketball players of all time. She scored like a gazillion points, went to the WNBA, had more of a prolific college
career, but she's back coaching Missouri State. I was like, good for her.
Yeah.
So that was kind of exciting. That was like a little fun caveat. But Stanford's then playing Missouri State in the Sweet 16, and Stanford coach Tara Vandermeer, on meeting a Cinderella of the tournament, Missouri State, in the Sweet 16 in Chicago, she said, "Hope it's a late game at midnight and Cinderella goes home."
Oh. Nice way to segue in the glass slipper.
Yep.
And speaking of Vandermeer, as you know, we earlier searched for her to see what was the deal with her personal life, and I was going to list the related searches that came up.
Let me say this right before. One of the stats in the Muffet McGraw article, again, which we'll do a deeper dive on Monday, we're screaming into a cell phone at this point in time, is that there were only three out female coaches. Who I didn't even remember. They're smaller universities, and I was like, "What do you mean? There's only three gay lady coaches?"
Yeah.
There's Muffet McGraw saying it's sad. Like, oh, wish there was more. You know, people are hiding.
Yeah.
You know, which sucks. So I was like, "Wait a minute. What about Tara Vandermeer?"
Exactly.
To me, she's the gayest woman alive. I mean, she could. I don't know.
Yeah. There's
so
more
I just thought she was an out coach. I didn't know that she was not an out coach.
No. There's more than three Subarus parked in the parking lot.
So then I said, Sheila, what did I say? Google Tara Vandermeer.
Tara Vandermeer. And Vandermeer actually is German for gay basketball coach, but nobody has translated that. Das Vandermeer. When I Googled to see if she was a gay lady, the search recommendations that paired with that search, I'd like to read them right now. One, fleece jackets for every age. Two, the best rated catnip. Three, gorgeous friendship bracelets. Wow. Yeah, my college roommate was my friend too.
Oh my God.
I was hopelessly in love with Annika. Four, great, she was half Swedish. Four, great yoga workouts. Five, this is like a Letterman top 10 list. It was inadvertently funny. Five, fun Hawaiian shirts. This is for real. The you know, Tequila Patron people, Patreon people. And six, and most importantly, men's beanies.
Wow, that's what you
these
get.
These are related searches.
These are related searches for Tara Vandermeer gay.
Yep.
Well, I'm sorry, I just assumed. That's my fault. I did not, she might be straight. I had no idea. I just naturally thought she was an out coach. Mm-hmm. So, one of the greatest coaches of all time. And I hope she is gay and I hope she comes out. I will do some more fact checking on that. Okay. A couple pieces of information, and again, I'm sorry about this audio, but the U.S. Women's National Hockey Team is playing in the World Championships in Finland. Mm. Their games are going to be televised on the NHL Network, so look for that. Their first game is today. Another big shout-out to the U.S. Women's National Team for soccer. They play Australia tonight, and Sunday they're playing in Los Angeles against Belgium. I will be at that game, and I will be doing a full reporting on Monday, April 8th episode. But they play Belgium and then they play Australia. Mm. And I want to know, I call the coach Tinker Taylor Soldier Spy because she tinkers with every single lineup. And I just want her to stop tinkering.
Stop tinkering.
So we know our lineup. We went undefeated last year. Okay. So stop tinkering.
Tinkering.
Johnny LaQuasto was on the show about a month ago.
Oh.
He does the WWE.
I like him.
Yeah, he's such a nice dude. I forgot. So this Sunday night, April 7th, it's like three or four huge female matches on their Sunday night, like SmackDown.
Wow.
I know I'm saying this wrong, but Rousey, Becky Lynch, it's the first time in WWE history that a women have like the title card. I think that language is correct, but anyway.
That's great.
It's a pay-per-view event. It's really exciting. That's also Sunday night.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
So on Sunday, Sheila, at 3 o'clock is the finals for the NCAA Women's Tournament. 6 o'clock,
check.
U.S. Women's National Team.
Check.
And that night also is the WWE main event.
And at 6 p.m., I'm giving Prozac to a cat named Chanel on the west side.
Also, the men's tournament. We've got Virginia-Auburn at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Following that is Texas Tech-Michigan State. I have so much sports to watch this. I picked Virginia to win it all. I didn't do brackets this year for the men's side, but I picked Virginia to win it all. I was so crazy about the women's.
Well, I don't know when you sleep.
I don't sleep.
And you know that I jello wrestled when I first moved to Manhattan to make $100.
I can't right now.
At a bar on Wall Street. So, I mean, that was something. I had just worked at a Home Depot store and had a bunch of rubber cockroaches, and I taped them to myself and called myself the exterminator. I feel like I've shared that on this podcast before. But
what?
I befriended a young lady named Alta Dustin who had grown up in Salt Lake City and bloomed when she got to Manhattan. And let me tell you about Salt Lake City. The gay bars there are nuts because everybody's so repressed.
Yeah.
She grew up as a gay Mormon, came to New York, came out, called me one night and said, you want to make $100 at a bar in down on Wall Street, jello wrestling?
No.
And practice some moves?
No.
With a lady named Hot Chocolate, who was
twice my size.
And I went down in the first round.
Yep. Jello wrestling taped with rubber cockroaches on it, and you called yourself the exterminator?
Only because I was using the crops.
Do you say
I
this in stand-up?
I've only started sharing it publicly.
Okay, because it's also secret. Now one of the that and being the WWE the Lady Sparks dog dancer.
The funniest. That was just the audition. I can't. Yep.
All right. Feel good moment of the week, people, and thanks for sticking with us on this audio. And Sheila's being such a good sport. I can't even tell you.
Good sport seems like a good term for this.
It's a good
kind
sport.
Podcast.
Maybe I'll call this episode good sport. Here's the feel good moment of the week that ties in with the U.S. Women's National Team. I'm so excited to see him play tonight and Sunday night. A U.S. Women's National Soccer Team got a helping hand in its pursuit to close the pay gap. So it was equal. What was it? Equality or equal pay day? The other last week. With the men's. Pursuit to close the pay gap with the men's program thanks to a donation of nearly $750,000 from Luna Bar.
Mm-hmm.
So the company announced its donation Tuesday in conjunction with Equal Pay Day. They flew to Tampa, presented the gift at the Players Association meeting, and it's the pay gap for the bonuses, right? So the U.S. Soccer pays members of the Women's World Cup a roster bonus of $31,000 per player less than it pays members of the men's team. To close the gap, Luna Bar made a $718,000 donation to the Players Association that would close that gap in 2019.
Wow.
And that's why they're obviously, now we've got two lawsuits against USA Soccer, because they're terrible. And mm-hmm. so is FIFA. The whole thing is terrible.
Oh, FIFA's pretty corrupt.
FIFA's corrupt in every single way, but, the pay gap is... I haven't had a Luna bar, but I'm gonna start eating a lot of Luna. I haven't had one in years, but now Luna, I don't even care if that was your fun marketing promo.
It doesn't matter, and
good for Luna.
I'm gonna be a lunatic. I am just gonna start eating them. And if they make edibles, I'll also buy an extra pack of that.
We are now becoming lunatics for Luna Bar's feel good moment of the week.
Exactly.
Beat Australia tonight, beat Belgium on Sunday. Tinker Taylor, easy with the tinkering.
Tinker Taylor.
easy with the tinkering. Let these women, we know the starting lineup that's the strongest. Stop tinkering. Everybody have a Luna Bar.
That's right.
Sheila, thank you so much for hanging in there.
We are screaming
into a cell phone right now.
We are back to the pioneer days. I would like to share that I recently took my mother to the 99-cent store on a shopping spree because she lives large and got a pack of slimming tea and drank it while listening to Meghan Trainor's Better When I'm Dancing. And I will tell you, that was it's from the Peanuts movie, and I love that song. I read the lyrics and it said they asked her to write something about feeling positive.
Oh my God, that's adorable.
Said, when I feel bad and I perform, I feel better. And I think it's why I love the song so much.
I'm going to download it right now.
You've got to. And Slimming Tea and Meghan Trainor, pair those two together. I'm telling you.
I'm going to get through the weekend city. On Slimming Tree and Meghan Trainor's song.
I feel better when I'm dancing.
I always feel better when I'm dancing. I dance around my apartment.
I worked on Dancing with the Stars Juniors, and that's how I first heard the song. And when I stood in for Honey Boo Boo, I knew. And I did stand in for Honey Boo Boo.
These sentences are outrageous.
This is my life, Erin.
So awesome. You always have the best stories.
Yeah. Well, I know you probably just wanted me to say bye, but I had to give my
No,
good
my
moment.
God. You can say whatever you want. Where can people find Sheila Ratner?
I'm about to shoot a web series. There'll be more information on that. What I really need are more followers on my Instagram account, Sheila Ratner. And you can always find my upcoming shows on that Instagram page.
Okay, Instagram. Everybody go on Instagram and follow Sheila Ratner because she's effing hilarious. And there's always so many pug action shots. A web series, we'll be looking for all of that. And just, you're please come back on.
I need the ratio of pug followers. I have a lot more pugs following me than people. So
okay,
let's
more
get
people.
The,
let's
more
get
people.
Let's get Instagram going. A couple quick announcements. I will be at Las Vegas next Thursday, April 11th for Klexicon. It's a big ladies convention. And I'll be doing some stand-up Thursday night, April 11th at 8 p.m. At the Tropicana. If you are in Las Vegas. Then I fly to Chicago on the 12th, 13th, 14th. I will be at Zany's in Chicago downtown, also going to a Cubs game, either Saturday or Sunday. And I need more Cubs, apparently, on my fantasy team because the peaches are already bruised. So Las Vegas and Chicago next week. If you go on erinkfoley.com, it's a brand new website. So it's a little bit, I have to post more shows, but it's brand spanking new. Sportswithoutballs.com and sportswithoutballs@gmail. Just two quick announcements on the Sports Without Balls. I did pull that Instagram down. So everything is going to be on Erin K. Foley on my Instagram. It was too hard to do two Instagrams. I don't know what I was thinking. So I'll have all my sports stuff on my regular Erin K. Foley Instagram. And if you want to donate to the show, please go on patreon.com/sportswithoutballs. $2, $5, $10, $15, whatever you want. There's tiers. You get extra content. You get the video. And I do extra podcasts every month. I just started. My Patreon fans have been so supportive. So that's another way to support the show and get extra content. And I think that is it. Let's do real quick predictions. I say it's going to be Baylor Notre Dame. I predicted Notre Dame. I'm going to stick with it, but it's going to be tough. What do you think?
Well, based on everything you said, I'm gonna dovetail Baylor Notre Dame.
Baylor, Notre Dame, I really do think. And I think on the men's side, I think Michigan State will get the better of Texas Tech. And I think Virginia, I'm still sticking with Virginia. I think they're going to beat Auburn, but Auburn is so feel good. Those games are going to be phenomenal. I'm going to do Virginia, Michigan State in the finals, and I'm sticking with Virginia. I'm going to do Virginia, Notre Dame, and the men's side, God, anybody could win. And, you know, if I'm betting, I'd probably bet on Baylor. Anyway, that is it. Sheila, thank you so much for coming on this program. You're the best.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
And watch these games. We got women's hockey. You got women's soccer, men's and women's basketball. Just this next week is going to be incredible. And then looking forward, I'm going to be going insane over college softball. So that's coming up as well.
I'll be pilling cats on the west side.
Sports Without Balls fans, friends, family, have the best week of your life.